going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Just 19 minutes after 12 o'clock. Great to get this guy back on the show. Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette was on with us yesterday as we talked about what the Avs might do. Will they keep those picks, specifically those two first-rounders? Will they package them, try to move around, get a different player, move up, whatever? But they did, in fact, keep those picks. Kyle, thank you so much, man. I know you're a busy man, so we appreciate you breaking away a bit to talk to us about what the Avs did last night and what the rest of the day is looking like for Colorado.
Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful draft for a team that's been a little light on capital in recent years and players that they've developed through the draft. So yeah, it's good to see them making some moves here to stay where they're at and build their farm system a little bit.
What did you make of the Avs standing pat with those first two picks of theirs anyway, and going with Kalen Ritchie and then Mikhail Guliyevev? I'm going to have a tough time with that one, but we'll keep working on it. What did you make of those draft picks?
Yeah, to me, it was reflective of sort of how the whole first round went. This felt like a draft where there was a lot of high-end talent and teams that were really happy with the players that were sort of falling to their place, to maybe say. And in this case, you know, I haven't done a ton of research on Kalen Ritchie and Mikhail Guliyev, I think is how you pronounce that.
You sound better than me, my man.
Yeah, but in sort of reading some of the scouting reports and others and people who are really locked into this amateur hockey world, both picks make a lot of sense. And starting with Kalen Ritchie, I mean, anytime you can get a center at his size, a guy who's a proven scorer, even when he's injured, he was a top 10 prospect before he had a shoulder issue last season, played through it and still averaged a point per game. But that sort of setback allowed the Avs to be in a position to get a player with an incredibly high ceiling. And on that front, the Avs like what they got. And then also with their second pick in the first round, remember that was gifted to the Avalanche essentially in that Alex Newhook trade. They get a small defenseman that a lot of people seem to even be comparing to Cale Makar just in terms of his play style. Now, no one can do what Cale Makar does as what makes him so special, but Mikhail is an undersized Russian defenseman with elite offensive talent, a guy who, idolizes Makar. That was sort of the word out of his post-draft interview out there in Nashville, just following some of the Twitter reports from home. So, to me, it feels like a strong draft. It's really hard to know in the immediate aftermath. I'm not a huge fan of draft grades because it's basically just a reflection of our opinions based on nothing.
Yeah.
But, on the surface, certainly it seems like the Avs, decided to go with the best player available. I don't know that a lot of people thought, hey, they need a first-round defenseman. But this shows to me that Chris McFarland just sort of assessed all the players and all the prospects and thought, hey, this is a very good use of a first-round pick, a guy who we could develop, into a real NHLer in maybe just a few seasons.
Well, and Kyle, when you look at Kalen Ritchie specifically, hearing about that shoulder injury kind of reminds me, I know two different sports, whatever, but it reminds me of the Michael Porter Jr. thing, because a lot of the reports and the scouting reports I was hearing were that, hey, if he didn't get that injury, maybe he goes a lot higher, maybe even top 15, top 10. So if you're the Avs, you kind of feel like you got a really good player. Now you just obviously hope that that's not a big-time concern with the injury.
Yeah, certainly, but I mentioned the size thing. He's 6'2" and
sure,
185 pounds. Those guys don't grow on trees, and if you feel like he's got sort of that elite element to his game, they just need to kind of build a little bit onto him. Not unlike Michael Porter Jr. We'll see what the ceiling is there, but more than anything, it just gives the Avs some players to really feel like they can develop and kind of grow in that farm system just down the road in Loveland. Such a valuable tool for this team, especially since they were lacking in that department.
Well, I think that'll be cool, too, as you said, with Loveland being in kind of our neck of the woods. Some of these names, these are guys you'll be seeing, you'll learn a lot from before they take that next step.
Yeah, certainly. And even for my sake, it'll be worth going down there. They will be having a new coach in Loveland, Greg Cronin. The Avs have done such a good job over the years of developing players. He got the head coaching job for the Anaheim Ducks, so should be fun when those two match up, being that Jared Bednar has spoke glowingly about him. But, yeah, certainly some good storylines to follow, and even right now I think the Avs are, you know, two picks away or one pick away for making their last selection of the seventh round here, so we're getting pretty close.
Yeah, so we're busting through it. As you said, we're going on throughout the day with this with the rest of the NHL draft. How is the rest of it looking to you? I mean, again, it's hard, like you said, it's hard to assess, especially the deeper you get into these rounds. You're like, ah, there's a position of need, there's a guy they can work on, whatever. But kind of what's your view as far as what the rest of the day has yielded for the Avs?
Yeah, so the Avs have picked twice already in the fifth and sixth rounds here. Both defensemen, which to me shows that they want to continue to develop that position, you know, at this later stage in the draft. Maybe you're not taking just the best available player after so many guys have gone. You want to fill needs. You want to find guys that maybe have been overlooked. And for the Avs, you know, one of those guys is another Russian defenseman, Nikita Ishmennikov, you know, another tongue twister for us here. But he's a bit of a change of pace. The Avs are known for having some of the smaller size defensemen who are super skilled. This guy's 6'3", 194, and still scored 11 goals in the Russian Junior League last year, and I think about 41 games. So a decent clip, you know, for a defenseman. Another guy that they want to develop. And, you know, one of maybe the better stories of this draft is the Avs' sixth-round pick, a guy named Jeremy Hanzel, who plays in the WHL out of Seattle. He's actually been passed over twice in this process of being, you know, available to be drafted, and teams haven't picked him. But here he is, you know, after a couple of years of kind of building his reputation. He was a key piece of a team that got to the WHL title game this season. And here he is getting his chance to do something with the Avalanche. So, you know, a 20-year-old who's around a bunch of 18 and 17-year-olds right now who are getting drafted. Good for him, you know, easy to root for.
Yeah, this draft is so interesting in that regard too, Kyle, because these are a lot of guys that you expect to come on and eventually make a quick impact, but they're 17 years old. In the NBA, you know, you see some 19-year-olds, NFL typically coming in their 20s. This one's always kind of cool because you're relying a lot on some very young dudes.
You are, and it's sort of really projecting further out in the future than other pro sports drafts do, you know, and I mentioned the Russian defenseman that the Avs took late in the first round. I think he's signed to play in the KHL in Russia for another couple of seasons. So, you know, the Avalanche don't, you know, have the opportunity to even have this guy around, you know, for a few years. But when you're that level of talented and teams trust, you know, their eyes and what they see and know that they need to be restocking their cupboard, you know, year after year, you're willing to take a shot on these guys. But at the same time, you know, just to be honest, it makes the draft a little less exciting than maybe the NFL or NBA, because those are just a lot of college guys that we also watch as sports fans and get to know, and we know the programs well. You know, as opposed to me, like, Googling an obscure Russian hockey league and figuring out how to pronounce this guy's name. It's still a cool moment for these guys, and not to take away from it, but I think that's why this isn't as maybe, you know, enjoyed by the sports world as some other drafts.
Yeah, I think that's a great point by you, and you see that on the baseball side, too. So on that note, I'll say, hey, this is for my listeners' sake, but really, Kyle, it's for me to know. For a guy like Richie and you know, Mikhail, is that how we're saying it? For those two guys, what is the realistic possibility of getting to see them in Ball Arena in a Avs uniform next season? I mean, is there that realistic chance that we're going to see them make somewhat of an impact?
I think anytime you're a first-round pick, that needs to be an option. It needs to be on the table, because you need to be picking a guy that you see immediately impacting your team, right? And, you know, there's a few situations where that's not the case. The Flyers took a Russian player who like the Avalanche defenseman that they got from Russia. You know, he has a contract. They can't get him in-house, and that's a guy who's a top 10 pick. So, you know, there are scenarios where that plays out. But for guys like Richie, you know, I would also say it's not a disappointment if he does spend the whole year in the AHL really developing and learning the game better, learning the Avs system. It might be a situation where the Avs, you know, bring him up for one or two games just to sort of, you know, get him a little bit of experience. We saw that last year with Oscar Olsson, and that did take pretty late into the year, I believe, to when he got that chance. But it would really take a spectacular performance of just consistent domination at that AHL level for that to happen. And with Richie, yes, he's a first-round talent, but in reading the scouting reports and everything about him, especially coming off of that surgery, I think the realistic expectation is that he spends this year in the AHL. If he forces the Avs' hand, then great. You know, let's see what he can do in that NHL uniform. But they shouldn't be trying to rush him, especially when right now the Avalanche are wheeling and dealing in the trade market, and I think they're not done after the draft and free agency. I expect them to add one or two more big-name players. It takes pressure off the organization to feel like they have to get these guys in right away.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, that kind of leads me to my next question then. I'm kind of asking an obvious question today on our tight-knit brewing poll question. Are the Avalanche still in a championship window? And I guess my question is, Kyle, are they in an obvious championship window? I think we can all agree with the top guys, with the McKinnons and McCars and Rantanen, and like they have that talent. Are they in that obvious championship window that, say, maybe some would say the Nuggets are in that pretty obvious championship window right now?
I think so. I think fully healthy, even without Gabe Landeskog for this upcoming season, you have to say that this team is based on their roster and the expectations, right? I mean, Vegas has them as the odds-on favorite preseason to win the title, and I think, you know, that isn't a crystal ball or it isn't going to predict it exactly, but it speaks to just sort of the respect that this team garners from across the league. And you know, I think as Avalanche fans, you know, people should be comforted by how aggressive this team has been to fix some of their issues up the middle, right? I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but this could have been a team that kind of sat back and saw what happened in the draft and looked at who was going to be available to start a free agency. But instead, McFarland was aggressive. He made two trades that people really didn't see coming to bolster up the middle, and Ryan Johansson and Ross Colton. So, you know, those moves alone show me that this is a team that isn't afraid to go out and make quick changes to address big needs. And they did it right away. They weren't sitting on their hands waiting to see what was going to happen. So, you know, a lot of time now between now and the end of next season, and then we'll kind of revisit that conversation. But I certainly think that the Avs feel like they're right there. You know, they should win their division again. If they're healthy, they should be able to make a deep run. You know, and even after last season, I don't think that confidence has wavered.
Well, and I think that's a great point with the trades and the pickups of Johansson and Colton. That gave you maybe a little more freedom, as you mentioned earlier, a little more ease in your brain, so to speak, to say, okay, we can draft guys that might not make that immediate impact, but we see them as being some big-time players down the road.
Yeah, certainly. And this is a team that never panics, right? It's like every trade they make, they always seem like they're the winner of it immediately, and you know, we'll grade these things down the line. But it's kind of been a trademark under Sakic of a team that understands, you know, what its identity is. It's not, you know, willing to risk the farm to try to win right away. It's, you know, they did make some really big moves with Lehkonen and Kadri and others before that cup run. They also have to trust in their development as well, that they're going to have guys that they can bring in that are first-round talent that are going to pan out. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, and Alex Newhook is a perfect example of that, you know, 16 overall. And after 3 years in Colorado, the team felt it had seen enough and decided to move on. And, you know, being quick to move off from a guy, I think, is as important as finding the right guy sometimes.
Kyle, my man, appreciate you. I know you're knee-deep in draft coverage, too, so we'll let you get back at it as we're wrapping up the NHL draft. Just appreciate the work you're putting into this. And this is a more difficult draft to cover, I think, even if you are a beat writer and you are constantly in the know with the Avs, because you got to learn about so many players that aren't easy to learn about, as you said earlier. So, man, mad respect for what you do every single day.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, man. Kyle Fredrickson, Denver Gazette. And so it sounds like those moves are obviously going to be guys that, you know, are Colorado Eagles guys for a little bit. but might get their opportunity at some point throughout the course of the season to come in and make their presence felt. 33 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Jamal Murray was on a podcast yesterday of some sort, and or a video podcast, videocast, vodcast, is that what it's called? And he had some interesting things to say about Bruce Brown. What did he say? We'll talk about it next. That's the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.